Buckhorn Baptist Church on this holiday weekend. I can't think of a better way to begin our service than by having believers' baptism. I'm so grateful today that Debbie Garrison comes to be baptized. Debbie, we're all so very proud of you as you came forward a couple weeks ago and recommitting your life to Christ and wanting to follow through believers' baptism. Debbie, I ask everyone to enter into these waters as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And upon your profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for this special day we celebrate with Debbie and her family. Father, we pray that her baptism would be a witness to others who need to make the same commitment to follow through with their faith in Christ being baptized. Father, I pray you would bless her and continue to grow her in the faith. I pray we as a church family would love her and pray for her. And Lord, if there are others that need to know you today, may this be the day of salvation for one or many. We'll be sure to give you all the praise. Continue to bless our service. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. What a great way to start our service with believers' baptism. I'm so glad you're here this morning. It's great to see all your smiling faces. And if you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. I want to welcome those online as well. If you're a visitor, there's a QR code on the pew in front of you or on the screen up behind me. If you'll scan that, we just want to get to know you a little bit better. Just some little information at the end of the service. We have our welcome center out here to my left and your right. We have a special gift for you. But if you have been visiting for a while or you're a new member to the church, there's something coming up in 2 weeks called Discover Forks. It's a luncheon after this service for free. We want you to come and be a part of that. If you want to learn more about the church, our staff will be talking about their ministry areas, and we'll have some other folks as well that will be participating and telling you a little bit about what's going on with the church. And so it's just a great time. Just scan that QR code, or at the Welcome Center, we also have some sign-up sheets. It's going to be a great morning together. Let's stand. Take a few moments and greet somebody around you this morning. Tell them how happy you are to see them.
As the people turn to pray.
a hallelujah. Let's proclaim it. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Lifting our voices and praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he's worthy of all praise together.
All hail King Jesus. And throughout eternity.
Thankful that we have victory in Jesus this morning, church. Yeah, you can give him a praise. Yeah. Isn't it great to know that we can call on him in our times of need and he will listen? It's great to know that he is our Savior. He is our God this morning. No matter what you're going through in your life, he is here to listen. He is here to help. You just have to call him.
Everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. My Savior, find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give you my life to follow everything I believe in, and now I surrender. My we
have victory this morning because Jesus not only died on the cross, but he conquered the grave. So we have something to celebrate today. We thank God for his faithfulness. We thank God for your presence here today. Also thankful that every week there's an opportunity for you, for us who feel led by the Spirit of God to come to this altar and pray. You may kneel, you can stand, you can pray on behalf of a friend, you can pray for guidance, for salvation, for forgiveness, however the Holy Spirit leads you. And for those of you watching online, you can pray wherever you are. I know we have some folks on vacations. You can pray while you're at the beach. You can pray wherever you might be worshiping today. But I invite you to come join me as we pray together. Won't you come pray with me today? Together. God, how great it is to be in your house, to sing praises to you and to worship and glorify the only one who's worthy to be praised. Thank you for being Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, I'm grateful for every person here worshiping today, for every person worshiping online. Father, we know it's not by accident that for this time, Lord, in the great scheme of things, you have brought us together for a reason, for a purpose. And I pray it's to draw closer to you, to seek your perfect will, to seek your face in our lives, to ask for your Holy Spirit's anointing to be upon us. Father, I pray for folks gathered at this altar. I pray for people praying from their seats or wherever they're watching and worshiping today. Lord, we pray for your strength and your comfort and your love to be upon them. Lord, I pray a special prayer for the Nally family and the Barnes family and the loss of Bill Nally, that you would comfort them, God, and strengthen them in their loss. Father, we continue to pray for the miracle of healing and Martin Serafini. We're grateful for the victory you've already brought. Pray now for continued healing to be upon his body. Father, we pray for so many who are going through treatments or, Father, battling illnesses, and we believe you're the great healer and the great physician. And we pray, God, if it's your will, to heal them completely, that people might come to Christ and that you would be glorified. Father, I pray for people here that are battling private pain. It might be an addiction. It might be depression. It might be loneliness. It may be, Father, problem at work or problem in school or on the team. Father, you know what we need even before we ask. But we come asking and seeking and knocking. Pray, God, again for your perfect will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I just pray now, God, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move through this service. I pray that you would forgive me or us of any sin that would hinder your Spirit from moving. Cleanse us and purify us so we can see you and hear from you and know you personally. I just ask, God, that you would just bless our musicians as they continue to sing and play and lead us this morning. And God, speak through your word and through your servant. And if folks don't know you, that they might come to know you personally, that Christians would come back home to you, that folks, God, looking for a church family might find your love and spirit in this place. So, Father, we just love you. And we praise you and we glorify the name that's above all names, the strong name of Jesus Christ, in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be reading verses 24 and 25, and after that, our worship team will be coming back to lead us. Thank you all for being here today. Hear these verses, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Why you ever chose me? It's always been a mystery. Well, all my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quites, well, all the never get it right. But it turns out we're the ones you've been looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody to save my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. The moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are?
Just nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
I'm just nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. And ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world.
Amen. What a great message and song. And thank you so much for being here and allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. If this is your first time joining us for worship, we are so glad you're here. And to warn you, I always start out with a little humor or a little joke. And this is an oldie but goodie, and it actually goes along with the message today. But maybe y'all remember the story about a wife who was trying to get her husband up for church one Sunday morning, and she went in and said, honey, it's time to get up for church. We're going to be late. And the husband just rolled over and put the pillow over his head, and she went and fixed breakfast, and she came back, and he was still asleep. And she said, honey, what are you doing? You've got to get up. We're going to be late for church. She went into the restroom, She showered, came back out, and sure enough, there he was, still in bed, asleep. She goes, "What are you doing? You've got to get up." And he said, "I don't want to go today." And she said, "Why?" And he said, "I'll give you three reasons. Number one, I just don't feel like going to church today." Said, "Secondly," she goes, "nobody likes me there. And third, I really don't care much for them either." And so she said, "Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why you need to go to church. Number one, you're a Christian, and it's your responsibility to be in God's house. Secondly, you're 54 years old, and you need to be in God's house. And thirdly, you're the pastor." Oh, my. Believe me, I can relate sometimes. Today we come to the end of our sermon series called Anchoring Down. And we've been talking about that all throughout our lives we go through storms, unforeseen, unpredicted storms that blow in our lives. And we learn, first and foremost, the greatest anchor of all is our faith in Jesus Christ. And we remember Hebrews 6:19 says, "And we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." We have our hope, our faith in Jesus Christ that helps us when the storms of life blow and when the challenges come and the obstacles pop themselves up. But we know that we have dropped three other anchors coming into this morning. The first anchor we dropped was the anchor of purpose. Know that all of us have a purpose. God created you and created me with a purpose. So don't ever think that you don't have a reason for being here. God made you uniquely. He wired you in such a way that you can do incredible things when you place your faith and trust in Him. We dropped an anchor of purpose. But then we also dropped an anchor of courage. We looked at how Joshua was to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And we know that he faced many challenges, many giants, literally, many obstacles, many battles. But remember what the Lord said, "Be strong and courageous." And he was able to lead the children of Israel to cross over the swollen banks of the Jordan into that promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey. And maybe you're here today and God is telling you to be strong and courageous. Maybe you need to have the courage today to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ or to do it publicly. Maybe you're here today and you need to have the courage to admit that you've made a mistake, that you have done something wrong. Maybe you need to have the courage today to admit that you have a problem, that you battle some sort of addiction. Maybe you need to have the courage today to tell someone, "I'm sorry," or the courage to say, "Forgive me," or the courage to say, "I love you." Maybe today the Lord wants you to make a decision, a life-changing decision, if you would only have courage. Last week we talked about dropping the anchor of worship. We came to understand that every day we live, our lives should reflect our love of Jesus Christ. We understand our worship is not contained by four walls, but everything we do, even the most menial tasks and small things in our daily lives, can be worship. We were encouraged to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I pray today that you would continue to worship the only one who's worthy to be worshiped and worthy to be praised. Today we drop the fourth and final anchor. It's an anchor that my parents dropped in our home when I was very young. It's an anchor that they taught my brothers and I to observe. It's the anchor of church. You see, when I was growing up, church was not an option. Church was expected. On Sunday, we all got up and went to church. This wasn't once or twice a year
or when nothing else absolutely was going on, but we were at church weekly as a priority, and we understood that church is not a burden, but it's a blessing. I'm so thankful today that we can drop the anchor of church. Do you remember back in Luke chapter 2 when Mary and Joseph and Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover? And do you remember that when Mary and Joseph were going home, and I think this is a sermon in itself, they lost Jesus. Do you remember that? They couldn't find Jesus. And it took them 3 days to get back to Jerusalem. And do you remember where they found Jesus? When they got back to Jerusalem, they searched for Jesus, and they found him in the temple with the teachers. And Mary, as many of you would have said, as a mom, said, "Jesus, we have been anxiously searching for you. Like, where in the world have you been?" And Jesus responded in verse 49 of Luke chapter 2. He said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" I've always said to people, if it was important enough for Jesus to be at church, it's important enough for you and me to be at church. That we need the firm foundation of God's house, worshiping with other believers. In our scripture today, we see the Hebrew writer writing this church that was made up primarily of Jewish Christians. And they were being tempted to revert to Judaism or to Judaize the gospel. And so this Hebrew writer was trying to encourage them to resist temptations, to give up the struggle. He was encouraging them to persevere in their faith and to stay together. And the ultimate message of Hebrews is the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is all you need to help you to weather the storms of life. Don't give up. And so today, as we look at these two verses that we shared, I pray that they would speak to you and speak to me, because we all need the Lord. We persevere in our faith. Maybe you've been thinking about giving up or throwing in the towel in the midst of your difficulty. But this is when we anchor down and we depend on the Lord. We have faith in Him, and we need the fellowship of God's church. In the first verse, we learn that the church is a house of love. It's a house of love. In verse 24, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love." So many people today are in an environment of hate. So many people are in an environment today of anger. So many people today are in an environment of strife. So many people today are in an environment of arguing. Does this describe your house or your circle of friends? There's always turmoil. There's always strife. There's always voices being raised and arguing and shouting. And you know what? That gets old really fast. But God's church is to be a house of love. Look, you wonder why some people don't want to go into a church when there's arguing and fighting? Because they've got that all the other days of the week. Church is one place where they want to come and find love and to find peace and to find joy and to find acceptance and to find forgiveness and to find purpose and to find meaning in their lives. And I'm so grateful that this church is a house of love. You remember before Jesus went to the cross, he was in the upper room with his disciples. And he was showing them an act of humility by washing his disciples' feet. Do you remember what he said in John 13, verses 34 and 35? He said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Were not the greatest two commandments that Jesus shared that we talked about last week is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. So God's church is made up of people, and we all need family, don't we? Rick Warren said years ago in his book, Purpose Driven Life, and in his first book, Purpose Driven Church, that we all need a church family. He said, first of all, that a church family identifies you as a genuine believer. There was a story that I shared about an old fella that used to go to church every time the doors were open. He was almost blind. He could barely hear. And he walked with the walker, had difficulty walking. One day, somebody said to him, oh, man, why do you go to church? You're almost blind. You can't hear thunder, and you can barely walk. Now listen to this. He said, I want people to know whose side I'm on. I want people to know whose team I'm on. So I'm so grateful that we can come, and that identifies to a watching world. We weren't made to go through life alone. We need fellowship with other believers. And that's why, secondly, that a church family moves you out of self-centered isolation. Out of self-centered isolation. Jesus, we are told by John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, so therefore we must lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's an unconditional sacrificial love. Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. He said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Look, Jesus was willing to die for the church, for the body of Christ. And that's the kind of love, husbands, we are to have if you're married, for wives and wives for your husbands, that it's a sacrificial, unconditional kind of love. But do you know why else we need church? Well, it can help you and me to grow in our faith. It helps us to flex our spiritual muscles. It also holds us accountable. I think a lot of times when people get away from church, they're living a lifestyle that they don't want to be convicted or feel bad about. So if I can just stay away, I can continue to live like I'm living and never feel guilty over it. Sometimes when people come and they do feel convicted, then they leave and don't want to come back because they're not willing to change or to give up that which they know they ought not be doing or a lifestyle they ought not be living. So they just stay away. But it's important for us to understand that this house is a house of love. But not only is it to be a house of love, but it's to be a house of unity. David said in Psalm 133, verses 1 and 2, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live in or dwell in unity. It is like precious oil being poured over the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard. Talking about Aaron, who was anointed as a priest in Exodus chapter 29, running down Aaron's beard. And I love what Jensen Franklin said in his book, Acres of Diamonds. He said, where there is unity, there will be anointing. He said, so keep the anointing in your family. Keep the anointing in your home. Keep the anointing in your workplace. Keep the anointing in your school. Keep the anointing in your team. Keep the anointing in your community. and keep the anointing in your church. And that's unity. And I'd like to say at this time that I believe with all my heart, one of the reasons God has so humbly blessed Forts of Elkhorn Baptist Church is because we've tried to keep unity in this place. And God blesses unity. Now, understand this. One of the things I've said from day one, we can agree to disagree and still love each other. I might not see things as you see them. You may not see things as I see them. But let's hope we all see it the way God sees it through His Word. And unity is a vital importance of God's Word and coming together as a family of faith. And we met united we stand, divided we fall. This is a house of love that we protect the unity of God's church. But then also it's a house of labor. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God, which He prepared for us in advance to do. We all have gifts and talents that we are to use for the glory of God to fulfill His work in our church and in our families and in our homes. And then Paul said in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, some of these early Christians were ready to give up or throw in the towel. There was a risk of just saying, it's too hard for me to live a holy, a godly life. I quit. And so many people drop out of God's church. But did you know that there are over 50 times in the New Testament where the phrase each other or one another is shared? Each other or one another. And what does that mean? We are to minister to one another. We are told to love one another, pray for one another, to serve each other, to forgive each other, to teach one another, to accept each other, and the list goes on and on. Rick Warren said, these are our family responsibilities. This is what we are called to do, and it involves ministering to, working for others. Do you remember when Jesus was there that we mentioned a couple weeks ago? He was with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Do you remember that the disciples came and they said to Jesus, we know you've got to be hungry, that you need some food. And in verse 34 of John 4, he said, my food is to do the work of Him who sent me and to finish His work. And then we heard Jesus say in John 17, 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And ultimately, when Jesus was on the cross, what were some of His last words? It is finished. He was saying, I did the work you gave me to do. I have finished the work, God, you have called me to do on this earth. What about you? Are you doing the work that God has called you to do? I'm so thankful this is a house of labor. You come through these doors almost any day of the week, and you're going to find people working. Let me give you some examples. If you were to come in on any given day, you might find a team of ladies downstairs prepping and preparing Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes for our packing party that'll be in November, where we pack anywhere from 12 to 1,500 shoeboxes for children who otherwise wouldn't experience Christmas or hear the message of Christ. On any given day, you might come in and see a group of ladies making prayer shawls to give out to people that have been in the hospital or had a newborn baby or going through a difficult time, prayer shawls that are prayed over. On any given day, you might find another group down in the fellowship hall putting together blankets that they're going to take to the Gap, to Eastern Kentucky, so people can stay warm this winter. They're making blankets so people can have warmth during the cold season. On any given day of the week, you might find a person or persons doing volunteer work around this church, filling in holes in the parking lot, or changing light bulbs, or patching drywall, or volunteering at the Cross Center. On any given day, you might find another team that'll be meeting about the church finances, or about personnel matters or issues. You'll find a team here on Monday nights doing grief share, supporting people that have lost loved ones that are struggling. We have a benevolence committee or benevolence team that are constantly, almost on a daily basis, dealing with requests from most outside these walls. And just recently, I was told that our committee in just recent weeks has given over $17,000 to minister to people that are going through a rough time in their life. That's because of your faithfulness and God's goodness. This is a house of labor that we're working together. I think about that old hymn, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, until we all are called home. I'm so grateful that the church is a house of love. It's a house of labor. And lastly, it's a house that looks to be committed. It's a house that looks to be committed. He said in verse 25, and let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day, capital D, day, approaching. Let us not give up meeting together. Some were either afraid to meet together for fear of persecution, or they just had gotten out of the habit. That was such a delicate, difficult time to come together to worship as a church family. But we come together because we are wanting to worship the Lord, we are wanting to love one another, and we're wanting to fulfill the work that He's given us to do through the Great Commission, to go and make disciples, baptizing. But we have also tried to pattern ourselves after the early church. If there's been one verse since I've been pastor here that we've tried to pattern ourselves after, it's been Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following. And this is where our ladies got the theme for their devoted women's conference. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Then if you would read on the following verses, and what were the apostles teaching? The gospel about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then they would fellowship and corporate worship. And they break bread, Lord's Supper, or breaking bread in their homes. And they would pray. And we're a praying church. And then everyone was filled with awe at the miraculous signs and wonders that the apostles did. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. And listen, verse 46, they met together daily in the temple courts. They had church every day. And then they ate in one another's homes with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and giving Him all the glory. Listen, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It didn't take a rocket scientist to see this is a formula that works. When we follow the Word of God, He brings victory in every area of our lives. I have two quick stories, and then we're going to close out. Some of y'all closed out about 20 minutes ago. I've seen more people elbow their next-door neighbor today. I close out with this. Church is also a house of rest, okay? But not snoring. I close with two stories. First one is this. Years ago, when we were still over at the chapel, there was a sweet little old lady that was here every time the doors were open. She had, in her younger years, worked in the children's ministry in VBS. She was a church treasurer at one point. She taught senior women's Sunday school class, and she was older than any woman in the senior women's Sunday school class. She would be here for all the meals. I laugh when I think I can still hear the sound as we were having a service or a meal at church, and Miss Helen Mefford was her name, pulled in and ran into the iron handrail going up the handicap ramp. I can still hear that iron going, eer! She didn't even know she hit it. Or she did. She maybe left and came back and parked in a different place. But I think it's still bent in her honor and her memory today. But I've never forgotten what Helen Mefford said. And y'all hang in with me a couple more minutes. She used to come and say, I have the worst one of those arthritis, boys. I have arthritis. She was bent over almost parallel with the floor. She could barely get around. And I've never forgotten, and I said to the early service, I get emotional even thinking about it. I remember one time Miss Mefford looked up to me with those baby blue eyes, and she said, and she put her fist up and she said, I'll be at this church even if I have to crawl. And she almost was crawling in her last days before God would take her home. That's commitment. When sometimes we have the smallest, lamest excuses, and there were people like Miss Mefford who would have given anything to be here in God's house, worshiping with other believers. I'll crawl. Second story is this. I'm so grateful for people in this church that try to bring others into God's house. You know, that's part of our responsibilities. It's not all about us, but it's about how we can reach others with the love of Christ and point them to the hope we have in Jesus. I want to tell you, I'm so grateful for young men like Brandon Moore. Brandon Moore is one, he has been a deacon in this church, a young man that coaches football for the Rams organization in town. He's a part of the Elkhorn Middle School team and also a part of the Franklin County High School team. God laid on Brandon's heart a mission. So the last couple of weeks, he and some of our other young dads that are committed as well have driven buses and picked up football players after football practice and are bringing them to church. And last Wednesday night, and I know JT was so excited and we're trying to scramble around to try to accommodate, they brought 50 to 60 young men that play football into God's house to worship and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you were in prayer meeting last week, we heard some screaming and yelling going on the hallway, and I knew probably who it was. And afterward, Brandon goes, did you hear some of those? I said, we did. But you know what? I knew who it was, and we're glad that they're here. This might be the only opportunity these young men get to hear the gospel and to know how they can be saved through Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for our student ministry. And I'm grateful that we're seeing young people, maybe who have never been in church their entire life, and not know you don't scream in the stairwell going up while prayer meeting's going on. But it's our job to teach them that God loves them and that He has a purpose and plan for their life. And maybe you're here today and you've been struggling and the winds have been blowing you from here to there. And so many times I've seen it through the years, you all. People get hurt in church. They get their feelings hurt. People look to be critical. If you've heard me say this once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times in 25 years. this is not a perfect church. I am not a perfect pastor, but we serve a perfect God. And if you're looking at him, you'll never be disappointed. But if you're looking to criticize me or to criticize this church, you can find fault. But if you keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, there's no fault in him. He's perfect. Have you lost your focus today? Do you need to focus back on Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Or maybe you're here and you don't know him. If you don't know Jesus personally, that's the first step in allowing ourselves to surrender it all to him, to weather the storms of life. We all need him. This is a field hospital for the sin, sick, and hurting, not a club for the righteous. Or maybe you're a Christian, you've drifted away. You had a bad taste in your mouth. You had a bad experience somewhere. And you know what? Christians are human. They're not perfect. So it's possible that someone did something wrong to you that called themselves a Christian. I've been hurt by others, and you have too. But it does not stop me from serving and worshiping our one true God. And I hope it won't stop you either. Or maybe you've been looking for a church home. Man, we'd love to have you to be a part of the great work God has begun and is doing in this place. However the Holy Spirit leads, we're going to have an invitation in just a moment, and we would invite you to come. May we pray together. Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment, if there is a man or woman, a young person, a child that's never accepted your gift of mercy and grace and love, I pray, God, that today would be the day that they come to know Jesus. That they say, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I invite you to come into my heart. Thank you, God, for saving me. I love you, Jesus. If someone could pray that and mean it, may they have the boldness and the courage to take a stand for the one who took a stand for us on the cross. Lord, I pray if there are Christians that have been on the sidelines criticizing those in the game, I pray that they would get in the game and start working and start doing your work, God, to bring you glory and to serve others. We know that you said, Jesus, that you did not come to be served, but rather to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. Or Lord, I pray today that if there are folks that want a church home that's a house of love and a house of labor and a church that's looking to be committed to you, and we're watching for your return as we see the day approaching. We try to encourage one another and love each other. Oh God, we need more family members to come and bask in your goodness and in your love. So Father, give us the courage and the boldness to come today and surrender our all to you, and we'll give you all the glory in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you, if you're in this place, to stand, and we're going to sing a hymn of commitment. It'd be my privilege to pray with you, to speak with you about your decision. Won't you come?
All to Jesus I surrender.
Oh.
so excited to introduce to you these that have come today to unite with this family of faith. First, I'm going to invite Austin and Andrea Elligood. Dustin, I said Justin. That's what happens when I don't have my glasses on. Dustin, it's so great today that they come. And actually, this was Andrea's church when she was a young girl. Is coming back home now, she with her husband and their family. Guys, we welcome you. I know God has led you here and led you back home, and we're excited. I know you shared you're excited, and so I know you want to pledge your love and support to Dustin and Andrea Elligood by letting it be known by saying amen. And so we welcome you all. You all can be seated right now. Then I'm also grateful today that Frank and Carolyn Sniff, if you all would come up beside me. This family has been visiting this church for the last several weeks. Now, are you all neighbors to the Marlettes or just friends?
Both. We used to be neighbors and we're friends.
You were neighbors and now you're not friends anymore, right? No, I'm kidding you. They're friends. I know they first came, I think, with Mark and Connie, and then they've been coming and telling me that they were feeling the Lord's leading, and we welcome you all as they come from another church family in Lexington. We welcome you with open arms. We're excited that you're here. I know you want to pledge your love and support and prayers to Frank and Carolyn Smith by letting it be known by saying amen and applause. We welcome you. You may be seated. If there are others of you who would like to speak with me or one of our staff, please contact us. It would be our joy to talk with you how you can get plugged into God's family, God's church. But right now, we're going to close out this service. I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite you all to go out into the foyer so folks can give you just a warm hug and handshake. Don't forget, we have activities tonight, or the youth meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. So students, make sure you don't forget to come at 6 o'clock this evening. Wednesday night, we have our meal at 5, our prayer meeting at 6. We've been having a great time, as well as youth and children's music opportunities for you to participate in the music ministry. But just know God is blessing us, and we give him the glory for what he's doing. Don't forget how much he loves you and how much we love you. And I hope you will have a great Labor Day and come back and worship with us again. Sean, lead us in a closing song, would you?
Let's sing this together. All hail King Jesus.
All hail King Jesus. All
God, we give you all praise, glory, and honor for your presence here today. And we know where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are. Here you are in our midst. So we thank you for your spirit in this place. We're grateful for the new family members that joined. Bless them, not only today, but in the days to come. Continue to bless this church family, that we would be your hands and feet in our community, that we would do our part in being committed to the one who so loved us that he would give his life. So, Father, bless each one with a safe and wonderful holiday. And we'll give you all the glory and excited to worship again next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.